Happy Monday, and thank you so much for kicking off your week with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great folks who are keeping you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. Of course, we're talking about the folks over at touringplans.com. Now, I leave this Thursday for an epic Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacation, and I'll tell you what, I've been getting my money's worth out of lines, the mobile app, already. I've been looking at the crowd calendar, checking to see which park I'm going to visit which day, especially with the big summer crowds. I'm going to be down there on July 3rd and 4th, which gets a little bit insane. But with my FastPass Plus reservations and my touringplans.com subscription, I know that I'm going to be able to see everything I want to see at Epcot and the Magic Kingdom on those two busy days during the summer. You can do the same thing too. It's like an insurance policy against the crowds. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 877 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Hope you're always enjoying the tracks on Magical Mouse Radio. We try to take you to your favorite place with those sounds you know and love. And don't forget tomorrow's Background Loop Tuesday, the biggest day of the week, so check it out, MagicalMouseRadio.com. But don't check it out too soon because we're starting another week as we do here on a Monday with a great trip report. We're going to head down to Walt Disney World today to discuss celebrating an anniversary as well as a first-time trip. So joining me today from the wonderful state of Mississippi, we have Lauren. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thanks, Mike.
Glad to have you on the show, and I think it's going to be an exciting one because I love, you know, the romantic aspects of Walt Disney World, but nothing better than a kid's first trip, too. And we kind of have both of those today, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right, well, let's jump into it. When did you guys head down?
We went down January 3rd through 9th. I've grown up Disney. I went to Disney in the womb. I went several times as a child, and we actually went to Disney World on our honeymoon. Unfortunately, my husband didn't really want to go. He had never been to Disney World before, so he didn't see the appeal of going to Disney World, but I didn't give him a choice. We were going to Disney World on our honeymoon, and of course, it was wonderful for his first time, experiencing his first time, because it was like a child experiencing for the first time. He was hooked, you know, from the moment we got there. So we ended up deciding, this was our sixth wedding anniversary, and our daughter was about to turn 3, so, you know, we wanted to go before we had to pay for it.
That's right.
And so we decided to go ahead and go during our sixth wedding anniversary. So
it's so funny because I'm sure that there are so many folks out there listening today that have that same circumstance of, you know, that they're the Disney nut, or maybe, you know, a lot of times, actually, I've heard from people, it's actually the opposite. Folks that listen to us were the ones that were kind of dragged to Walt Disney World kicking and screaming at first, and they kind of fell in love with the place over time. So it's kind of the same for your husband?
Oh, yes. He just didn't understand what the appeal was. I mean, he knew it was a fun destination, but he just didn't grow up a Disney fan like I did, and never went as a child, and so he just didn't understand. But of course, when you hop on the Magical Express bus, it starts, the reality starts, and it's just, you're in that Disney bubble, and it's just wonderful, and he just loved it. And of course, we've been, you know, trying to go back ever since, and this was our first opportunity too.
Oh, wow. So you guys had a long time to kind of digest it and get excited for it, because, you know, it's hard to tell this to Disney fans, and I have to tell this to myself, but I'm so looking forward. We leave on Thursday to go down. And, you know, for once here, this is a non-race weekend. And I haven't been down to Walt Disney World like since last summer, where I'm not going to a Disney race. And, you know, everything goes so fast on those quick weekends where you got to get up at 2:30 in the morning to run. And this is a vacation. And I haven't had one of those really where I can just chill and swim and do whatever I want for a year. And I mean, isn't that something to be said for that, when you don't get to go maybe as often as everybody else and you get to really look forward to it and really kind of savor that anticipation?
Right, exactly.
I can't wait. So you guys were down there early January. So you were kind of there between the New Year's crowd and then marathon weekend. So how'd that work out for you?
It actually worked out really well. I remembered when we went on our honeymoon, it was very low crowds. And of course, I think just Disney World in general has gotten more crowded, but it definitely was very low crowds when we went. It was wonderful.
Now, where'd you guys stay?
We stayed at Bay Lake Towers. We got a two-bedroom. My mom and my dad and my sister, who was still in college at the time, went with us. And so we wanted to be able to stay together. And so we ended up getting just a two-bedroom villa over at Bay Lake. My dad has some back issues. And so walking for him long distances wasn't going to be possible. So being close to the monorail, and also, I guess, every other trip we've ever been on, we'd always stayed at a monorail resort. And like I said, we've been every maybe 4 or 5 years growing up. And so we were able to stay at a monorail resort. And so I think my parents weren't ready to not stay at a monorail resort. So this was wonderful. It was just like staying at Contemporary, but we had more room, and the hotel was wonderful. I hate that we didn't get to spend more time in our room. I wanted to go a little on the cheaper side, so I ended up getting a standard view, but I asked to be close to the sky bridge that connects the Bay Lake Towers to the Contemporary. And I did the whole faxed on my request like 4 or 5 days before, and ended up our room, of course, it was a view of the parking lot, but just beyond the parking lot, we had a perfect view of the castle and of Space Mountain. So it really was a Magic Kingdom view, and we were on the 7th floor, so we were able to see the Magic Kingdom. It was wonderful. So even though it technically wasn't a Magic Kingdom view, it was.
I was going to say, because the parking lot there at Bay Lake is kind of between the hotel itself and the Magic Kingdom. So, you know, as long as you're in a, it's a tall, like, tower-type hotel. So as long as you're not down low, you're going to be fine, I would imagine.
Right, exactly.
Let me ask you about this, about Bay Lake, because I've had a lot of friends go there, and they really do enjoy it. And, of course, like you said, there's nothing that can really beat the convenience of being so close to the Magic Kingdom, being right on the monorail line. But how was dining? Is that a challenge because you got to go across the Sky Bridge over to the Contemporary? I mean, how did you find that as far as when you weren't dining in the parks?
It was very easy. We were actually, though, because I requested us to be close to the Sky Bridge. I think it's on the 5th floor of the Bay Lake. It was either the 5th or the 6th floor. So we just right beside the elevator, zoomed down to the 5th floor, went over the Sky Bridge, and we were in the Contemporary right beside the, I think it's called Fantasia gift shop in the Contemporary. So we were right there. We ended up eating at California Grill one night and then did Chef Mickey's for breakfast one morning. So that was nice. We didn't have to hurry and get ready to go over there. It took us less than 5 minutes to get to the restaurant. So that was really easy. All our other dining was in the park.
Cool. Did you do California Grill, I guess, maybe for an anniversary celebration?
We did. We got there on the 3rd, which was our actual anniversary. We flew in, and we just didn't have any plans for the rest of the day. I wanted it to be relaxing, and we had supper plans for that night at California Grill. We didn't, because of our daughter, her being 2 at the time, I really wasn't wanting to get dinner plans so that we could see the fireworks. We had experienced that on our honeymoon, and that was fabulous. But having a little one, it just really wasn't going to work out to have dinner that late. So we ended up having a 5:30 reservation, and that was nice because my parents ended up taking our daughter back to the room, and my husband and I got to have some time together on our anniversary, and we went to Downtown Disney. So that was really nice.
Did you find the meal to be something special? I mean, did it meet your expectations?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I love California Grill, and we would definitely be going there again. It's so nice, and the food is wonderful.
Awesome. I got to get there. I've been there for a private event, but it wasn't a meal. It was like a cupcake meet with the Disney Moms panel. But yeah, the cupcakes were great, and the views, you just can't beat the view from up there. It's an amazing place. And I'm glad, you know, I think that's what I always want to tell folks that are going down for like a first trip or, you know, one of their first trips is take advantage of where you're staying. And you had two great restaurants right there, hop, skip, and a jump across the Sky Bridge, and you did that. And I'm glad to see that you got to do that. I mean, you're an experienced traveler. You know what's going on.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about the next thing I kind of want to ask you about is traveling with an extended family, because a lot of times, you know, we go down with just, you know, my family, with just my wife and the kids. But when you have those extra hands, like you mentioned, you know, how did you take advantage of that? And how did the dynamic work of everybody traveling together, especially your dad had a few mobility issues? How'd that work out?
It worked out very well. First of all, I had given them, I'm the planner of the family, whether it be Disney or anything else. And so I told my family, they know that I've been listening to y'all's podcast and reading blogs. And even though I felt that I was knew Disney really well, I'd never been with a toddler. Well, technically I went with my sister when she was a toddler, but I was 10 and I didn't really
You're not in charge.
About all that. But so I really wanted to get all the knowledge I could. So I told them, this is our trip, mine and my husband's and my daughter's. And I said, y'all are welcome to do whatever it is y'all want to do, or y'all can hang out with us. It's up to you. And so they ended up hanging out with us the whole time, which was wonderful, but I didn't want to limit them just because they were with us, that they had to feel like they had to be with us all the time. So, I just kind of went ahead and told them that up front so they can know that y'all still have the freedom to do whatever you want. But, it was really nice getting to have my family. They actually, one night we were at the Magic Kingdom and they ended up taking our daughter back to the room early, and my husband and I got to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train like 5 or 6 times, because that was our thing.
Wow.
We really wanted to ride that, and it was late and it was almost time for fireworks and they were tired, and so that was so nice that they took her back and we really got to have some time together, getting to do grown-up things. But it was a little difficult with my dad. We had to end up getting him a wheelchair. He just can't. He's got back issues, and he's not able to walk for long distances. His foot falls asleep, and so it was just better for him to just have a wheelchair. And so that did slow us down a little bit. Of course, my husband and I want to just, you know, run to different things, and we could just push our daughter in a stroller, you know, to go along with us. And so we did have to slow down a little bit, but I mean, it was nice to be able to enjoy what we were doing instead of running from attraction to attraction. And it was also wonderful. I'm really close to my family. It was really awesome to get to see their reaction to our daughter's reaction to all things Disney. We, of course, love Disney. So we started her off on Disney early. And right before we went on the trip, she really got into the princesses. She'd always been into Mickey and Minnie and, you know, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and everything, and Sophia and Jake and Doc McStuffins and all the Disney Junior characters. But she really got into all the princesses, too. So it was nice getting to experience that with my extended family.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, now your daughter not only has those connections from her first trip with you guys, but she has that with her grandparents. And, I can only imagine how it melted their hearts, but also, you know, they can talk about that for years and years to come. Remember Grandma or Grandpa when we did this down at Walt Disney World? I think, you know, we don't talk about that a lot, but that's a huge thing, I think, going both ways for both the child and the grandparents.
Oh, yes, she did. She still reminds them about all kinds of things that we did, and it really was special because they're the ones that took me to Disney. They're the ones that got me interested. My mom went with her family 2 weeks after Disney World opened. So we've always been a Disney family, and we just haven't been able to make it down as often as we'd like, but we still love Disney World. And I knew that their love for Disney just increased by seeing our daughter's face and everything that she got to experience.
That is awesome. That is great. I love when families can come together with a common bond and have great experiences. That just, and it's a Monday, you know, it's a great way to start your week here in this story. So let's get a little further into it here and talk about your time in the theme park. So how did you're the planner. So how did you lay out, you know, your master plan to see what you wanted to see, to make sure you got around to do what you wanted to do? And, you know, were there some things that, you know, are still fresh in your mind here 6 months later?
Well, first of all, I was very intrigued by the fact that you could get into the Magic Kingdom early if you had a breakfast reservation. So I was the planner that I am. I was up at 5 a.m. because it's Central Time, so it's 6 a.m. Eastern. But I was up at 5 a.m. ready to get all of my dining reservations 180 days ahead of time. I had all that planned. I really wanted Cinderella's Royal Table, which was actually the last day that it was open before it went under the renovations. So I was really hoping to be able to get that one. I ended up not getting it, but I kept checking back, and I think it was about 2 months before we went, there was a reservation for 8:40, and the Magic Kingdom opened at 9. So I snagged that reservation, because that it pays off to keep checking, even if you don't get what you want. And so we went, we got to the Magic Kingdom early, and we probably went in about 8:30. Our reservation was at 8:40. So we got to go down Main Street with nobody. Well, there's a few people, but there's almost nobody was there. And I really wanted to see my daughter's face when she saw the castle, because all the Disney movies that we have, you know, at the beginning of them, they show the castle. And so she gets so excited and she talks about, oh, the castle. And so I really wanted to see her reaction without a bunch of people in front of her blocking the castle. So I tried, and I actually ended up getting the reservation. So we went, and that was just, we all almost started crying just seeing her face. She was just so excited. And then we went to Cinderella's Royal Table, and so she got to see all the princesses, and she was just on cloud nine. And so that's, I chose the Magic Kingdom because that is what you think of when you think of Disney. That's, you know, the castle, and I know her love for the castle. That's why we chose to do the Magic Kingdom the first full day that we were there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, kind of a teaser staying at Bay Lake Towers, because you can see the castle there from your room, and then the next morning you get up bright and early, you're kind of, going up to the castle, and then you're dining inside the castle. I can't think of a better way to introduce your daughter to the magic of Disney. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking that is brilliant, even though I've never thought of that myself, but brilliant. Good job.
Thank you.
I love it. It shows the planning pays off, and perseverance. Keep checking on those ADRs. You never know when you'll get one. That's a great tip. I mean, how did you do that period? Did you do it daily? Did you do it maybe once a week? How'd you go about it?
Oh, I did it maybe 4 or 5 times a day.
There you go. That's what I was expecting. Yeah, welcome to the club. Nice. All right.
And it was one of those things where it wouldn't have ruined our trip by any means if we would not have been able to get that. Well, and I'll tell you the truth, I had a Crystal Palace reservation for right before 9 o'clock. So we were going to get into the park early anyway. I wanted to make sure of that. But I knew she would love to be able to see all the princesses together at once. And so I just kept trying. And so it really does pay off with that.
All right, well, let's talk about your time going around the other three parks, because, of course, the Magic Kingdom is going to be up your daughter's alley with, being a princess person. I've got 2 girls, been there my whole life, don't have any sons. But how was it, going around maybe to Epcot, the studios, maybe Animal Kingdom? Did you do any of that? I'm sure you probably did.
We did. I know that people probably hate me, but we decided not to do Animal Kingdom this trip. Our daughter's not just a huge animal lover. I mean, we've been to the zoo, but she really didn't care that much about it. So we really wanted, since it was mostly a trip for her, we wanted to do more things geared towards her. So we went to MGM. I will always to this day call it MGM because I grew up calling it MGM. But Hollywood Studios, we went, and we were there right when it opened. Wanted to make sure she went and saw Sophia and Jake and in the little Disney Junior area. And she was actually the first one in line to see Sophia because those are her favorite characters. She doesn't watch anything else other than Disney Junior and all of our Disney movies that we have. So we love Hollywood Studios. We were there, it was a couple of days before they took the hat down. So we actually got to get our pictures made, right before they took it down. And so I don't know what it looks like. We didn't go back after they took it down, but we were excited about that. Made some friends jealous on us getting our pictures made before it was taken down. But we really enjoyed that. And then we also did Epcot. Our daughter wasn't as crazy about Epcot. We loved it, but we actually had a very wonderful experience in the United Kingdom. Alice was there, and our daughter, I think she's seen Alice in Wonderland once, but she wasn't as familiar with Alice as all the other Disney characters, but we went to go meet Alice. And Alice, I guess, took a liking to our daughter because she decided to take her. There's a little courtyard area kind of behind where she meets people, and so they went to go look for the rabbit, and Alice took her all around. And at first she kind of looked back at us like, are they taking me? But my husband got to get some wonderful pictures, and she spent about 10 minutes with our daughter, and there were people in line waiting. I'm sure that probably made them mad, but it was such a wonderful experience. That's what Disney does so well, is the character interactions. They make you feel like you're the only person there and that you're the most important person at that moment. And we will have that memory forever. And she loved it. And it was so wonderful having that personal time with the character. And they skipped around and sang songs, and it was just wonderful. So even though she didn't like having to go around to the countries and things like that, she loved getting to meet Alice, and she's a huge Alice fan now. But we spent 3 days at Magic Kingdom, and then, let me take that back. We spent 4 days at Magic Kingdom, and then the other two, one at Hollywood Studios and one at Epcot.
But you took advantage of where you were staying, you know, proximity to the resort there. And of course, your daughter's age, I mean, it's perfectly appropriate to be at the Magic Kingdom. But I'm glad you got out there and got to, you know, take advantage of what's right up her alley there at the studios with the character meet and greets from Disney Junior. And then, you know, Epcot, I think, you know, the adults want to go around and see it. But I think that it is a nice improvement that they do have something there for the younger set to kind of keep them busy while you just wander around and maybe explore the shops and maybe grab a, you know, an interesting bite to eat. Did you guys have any good meals while you're over at Epcot at all?
I'm trying to remember. We didn't have a sit down meal while we were at Epcot. So we just grabbed some things. Nothing sticks out in my mind as far as what we ate. It's kind of hard to remember that far.
Oh yeah, unless it's really, you know, outstanding. It's been quite a while. So,
we remembered our California Grill meal and a few others, but because we didn't have a sit down meal, we just kind of grabbed stuff as we went. I did get some caramel from Germany. And it was caramel apple. I got some little caramel squares. So that was something I remember was the caramel. I loved that.
And that's a great thing to do when you're going through World Showcase. Just snack. You don't have to have a table service restaurant, even though I say that and I'm all excited that in a few days I get to eat at Via Napoli in Italy. So, you know, do what I say, don't do what I do. That's what my dad used to tell me all the time. So, all right. So, Let's kind of talk about lessons learned with traveling, you know, or maybe just things that our audience can take. Because like you said, a lot of folks might be Disney veterans, but now they have kids and they're going back for the first time with their 1-year-old, their 2-year-old, their 5-year-old. So as far as maybe even packing or planning and all that stuff, what have you learned that you could share with our audience to help them have a great experience? Like, it sounds like you guys really did.
We did. One thing is we ended up going in the summer before, about 6 months before we went to Disney World. We went down to New Orleans, which is about 3 hours away, so it's very convenient. We went to the zoo, and this was kind of our trial run as far as, you know, how we were going to deal with the stroller. And so we kind of had a little 2 or 3 day trip there to kind of see how she did as far as being away. We've gone down to the beach and stuff, but we've never really had an actual vacation with her since she was born. And we kind of wanted to see how that went. So that really helped us try to figure out. We knew Buckling her in the stroller was not a good idea because she did not like that. And just different things like that. It helped us realize what all she really needs whenever we're away from a hotel or home. So that was helpful. And the planner that I am, I had our packing list ready about a year ahead of time and kept going through it and taking things off and putting things on and everything. As she grew, I learned, well, you know, she doesn't need a bottle anymore. She's at sippy cups now and, you know, that kind of thing. And really tried to, I didn't want to pack too much since we were flying. But I didn't want to leave anything behind since we were not going to have a car there. We wouldn't be able just to zip over to Walmart or wherever. But the thing that shocked me the most wasn't taking our daughter to Disney World. It was the flying. I have flown. I've been to multiple continents. I am an experienced flyer. But taking a toddler is a completely different ballgame. First of all, she loved flying. She was, as we were taking off, she was yelling, "Faster, faster."
Yeah, she's braver than I am. Very nice.
So she loved the whole flying experience. So we didn't have a problem with that. It's just having an extra person to be responsible for and going through the security line. And we left out of Jackson and that security line takes you all but 5 minutes to go through. But when we were coming back in Orlando, that was definitely an interesting experience. There was so many people and it took forever to get through the line and everything. So the shock to us was really the airport more than Disney World. But I learned and I knew ahead of time I had to be patient. We don't know what it is that she's going to do. I assumed she was going to take a nap in the stroller. We weren't planning to go back to the room unless we had to because this child can sleep anywhere at any time. She was such a good baby and she can just fall. If she's tired, she will just fall asleep. So we knew she wasn't going to have to be in a bed to go to sleep. So we were hoping to be able to not have to leave, which we didn't end up doing. But we got to do our adult rides while she was taking her nap. But I think the main thing is remain flexible. And I had to just keep telling myself that because I am a planner. I wanted to, you know, we're going here at 9:05 and then we're going here at, you know, 10:20. And I had everything all planned out, but I had to just keep telling myself, we have no idea what she's going to do. We have no idea what she's going to like and not like. And so we really need to stay flexible. So I think that is the biggest tip that I would give people taking their children to Disney World. Because as adults, we can just, you know, if my husband didn't want to do something, either I would just go do it by myself or he would just have to do it with me or, you know, whatever. But when you have a child involved, you don't get that luxury of just dragging them along and saying you're going to have to deal with it if it's something they really don't want to do. But we knew it was a trip for her, and you know, we knew we're going to be able to come back to Disney World when we want to. And so we've kind of gotten to have our adult time. We'll be able to do the things that she wants to do.
Good tip. Now, let me ask you this, kind of following up on that. You guys, you know, it had been 6 years and you hadn't used the My Disney Experience system, and you're definitely a planner, so you like to know when you're doing things, you know, and where things are going to take place. So what did you think of the whole Magic Bands and the mobile app and, you know, the new FastPass system? What were your thoughts on that?
I actually loved it. I was a little concerned because I wasn't really sure. Like I said, I wasn't really sure what she was going to like, so making fast passes. I wasn't quite sure what we needed to get fast passes for, thinking that maybe she wasn't gonna like something and then, you know, we've wasted a fast pass. But I loved the whole fact that I could change it on my phone. And we ended up, the first day that we were there when we got out of our breakfast at Cinderella's Royal Table, I had fast pass reservations for meeting Mickey. And it was maybe 9:15, 9:20, And I was like, you know what? Let's just go see what the line's like. Because the My Disney Experience app showed that it was only like 5 minutes. And I was like, well, I'm not going to waste my Fast Pass on this if it's only 5 minutes. And I loved it because we got there. It was a 5 minute wait. So I as we were, you know, walking in, I changed our Fast Passes to something else. And so that was so convenient. And I love not having to keep up with a card. I love the Magic Band. Of course, our daughter loved it because she called it a bracelet. And she felt like she had to scan it every time we scanned ours, even though she didn't really have a ticket because she wasn't three. But I just love the convenience. And there's a commercial I saw before we went. And afterwards, I realized how true it was with it was a Disney commercial, but it was people coming back from their vacations and trying to use their Magic Band. I love that. And it really was. I wish I had a Magic Band for my life. It was just so convenient. I just didn't have to carry as much stuff.
Lauren, you need to get an Apple Watch. It's as close to the outside of Walt Disney World Magic Band as you can get. I can go to the grocery store and just boop and get my groceries. I don't even need a wallet. It's awesome.
Might need to think about that.
I love that commercial, though. That commercial is classic. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. That's the one where like the lady gets home and she walks right into the door because she tries to Magic Band her door and she walks right into it because it doesn't open. Is that the one?
Yes, that's that one. And then a guy at the grocery store or something trying to pay. Yes, I loved it.
Let me ask you one last question here before we get out of here today, because as a travel agent, I get this question quite often, and we also get it in our listener questions. I know we've done it 4 or 5 times. When you have a child that is under three, okay, but they're not like in the baby age where they're drinking out of a bottle. With your dining, how did your daughter handle that? Because, you know, especially folks like that are on the dining plan, they're always asking, well, my child's not three, so they're not getting any entitlements. How do they dine at a table service restaurant? So how did you find that for your daughter?
We found it very easy. I had ended up, California Grill, I ended up ordering a steak. And so I was planning on sharing all our food with our daughter, because I don't eat as much and she doesn't eat as much, and so we were thinking we could just share. But in something like that, she wasn't going to eat a steak, so we did end up getting her. We just paid cash for, well, we charged it on a Magic Band, but we didn't use any kind of meal plan for that. But it was wonderful because usually she could just eat off of my stuff any other time, because they're not required to have their own meal at those restaurants. So it was actually very convenient. And then if we had decided that she might not like what we were eating, then we would just order her something. But she just doesn't eat very much, and so she was fine with whatever it was that we gave her.
Yeah, it's always
very easy.
Yeah, at that age, it's just easy to give them some food off your plates, and everybody's happy. Because you're right. I mean, somebody under three is not going to eat a whole lot, but a lot of people get stressed about that. You know, and I think that it's one of those things that, until you've done it once, I understand where you're stressed because your kid has to eat. But the portions at Disney are so large that it's really, because we did the same thing with Mallory, it was never a problem for us.
Oh, yes. And we had a couple of buffets. So it was, you know, I just got as much food as I wanted to. And it didn't matter that we didn't pay for her, because she just ate off my plate. Because I'd specifically seen that written down in the dining plan PDF that Disney puts out, that they can share, because I was worried about that, if I would get in trouble if she shared off of my plate or whatever. But it was very easy, and if we could tell that she was hungry and she didn't want what we wanted, then we just charged it to our Magic Band and got her whatever it was that she wanted.
All right. Well, sounds great. Well, Lauren, hey, thank you so much for starting our week with a great trip report from back. Oh, I want to ask you one other thing. Did the crowds build, you know, and did you find that to affect your touring? Like, because I know Marathon Weekend, it kicked off kind of right as you guys were leaving, as I recall, because I think the marathon was on the 11th. So the 5K would have been your last day. Did that have any impact at all on your stay?
We really didn't see any kind of difference until Thursday night. We ended up staying. We had almost a whole day in the park on Friday because our plane didn't take off till 7:30 that night. And so we started telling a we could start telling a difference about Thursday evening when we were in line at Space Mountain and the line just kept growing and growing. And there was a lot of people in the little running gear.
lots of sneakers.
Oh, they're marathoners then. And then Friday, it got really crowded. But that was the day we were leaving. The weather was, it was a little rainy. And so it kind of made it a little easier to say goodbye to Disney World because the crowd got bigger and the weather got a little nasty. And so, but it wasn't till Thursday evening, and that was probably at 8, 9 o'clock, that we really could tell a difference in the crowd.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's sneakers everywhere. Because I was there in 2007 or something before I ever even considered running. We were there that week and I'm like, man, there's a whole lot of people like with shorter shorts and tennis shoes on all of a sudden, and they're really, really fit, most of them. I had no idea what was going on. But then, yeah, it's funny. Once you know that something's going on, you can totally see it happening.
Oh, yeah. And it also stood out because it was probably about 50 degrees that night. And so it's like these people in shorts, they're obviously not just regular Disney park goers. They're here for a reason. And I knew about the marathon. And so I put two and two together.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Lauren. I appreciate it. Lots of smiles. Lots of great knowledge for folks that are heading down with a first-time child down to Walt Disney World. And thanks for sharing your expertise with us. We'll have to do this again after your next trip.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on that next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. They have tried and true touring plans that you can follow step by step, or this is what I do. I love technology. I use the mobile app Lines, which has a feature called the Optimizer. I just love what it's called, the Optimizer. You can type in the attractions you love. It'll spit back the best way to see those attractions with the least amount of weight right there using stats on the fly. So check them out. Lots of services that are going to make your next Disney vacation awesome. They're over at touringplans.com. Now, I need you to do me a favor this week because we're leaving on Thursday to head down to Walt Disney World. We'll be at Riverside. We're going to be at French Quarter for a day. We're going to be touring the parks before the cruise. I want you to follow all the adventures on Instagram. So please give me a follow on Instagram today at Be Our Guest Mike. Same thing on Twitter, Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter. And of course, we'll be updating to Facebook over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. So please mark your calendars. And we're going to have Sail Away. We want to see if you can watch us on PortConeveralWebcam.com. That'll be on July 10th. And we'd love it if somebody out there, one of you tech-savvy listeners, could snag a picture of the group waving from the PortConeveralWebcam.com and get that so we can put it on our Facebook page when we get back. We'll definitely be up there. You'll see us in our shirts. We'll have the banner. You can't miss us. We'll be by the forward funnel on the Disney Dream. So July 10th, be ready to watch for the big sail away for Podcast Cruise 3.0. And if you're sailing with us, hey, we are almost there. Also, don't forget to check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. You can always listen to the show on Stitcher Smart Radio. That's a free app for both iOS and Android devices. So just drop by Stitcher.com, download the app, and search for the Be Our Guest Podcast. And you can do the same with the TuneIn Radio app. That has live radio as well as podcasts, both for iOS and Android devices. So check that out as well. It's called TuneIn. It's a free app, and it is awesome. All right, thanks so much for kicking off your week with us. We hope you enjoyed the show heading back to Walt Disney World. Great time today. Loved it. So thanks again to Lauren and for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, who are not here today, but definitely a part of the show. I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.